Matthew chapter 27. And would you stand with me as we read this scripture? Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to just go back a little bit in time from what we read earlier today about the resurrection, and now we're going to talk about the cross. Starting in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Father, I just pray right now that you will go before this message. Lord, as you have dropped it into my heart, may I give you honor and speak it out as you want it spoken. And Lord, as the ears are hearing it, I just pray that they will hear what you are wanting them to hear. Lord, whether it be one word or the whole thing, I pray that the hearts are receptive. And God, as your word goes forth, may it not come back void. May it accomplish what it was set out to do. Lord, I humble myself before you now. May I decrease and you increase, and the cross go before this message. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. What did the cross do? I know this is Easter and I should be talking about the empty tomb, but it all comes down to the one event making it two. There's the crucifixion was important, the resurrection was important, and through it all we have the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, which is what the basis of our entire religion, if you want to call it that, I call it a relationship. It's what the basis of it all is. What did it accomplish? And I wanted to tell you today that the cross brought life. That's the title of this message today. The cross brought life. And first of all, that cross brought physical life. The events that happened during the crucifixion hours was amazing. The sun was darkened. So there was darkness for 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And you can go into history and see what was it. And they say that there was a total eclipse at that time in that area in Jerusalem. But it was still a supernatural event. The earth shook. The temple curtain was torn in two. But the part that is interesting, because Matthew, he records just slightly different than the other Gospels, in that he puts in here that when the earth shook, dead people raised to life. It's not talked about much. I can't say that I've ever heard a sermon. I know that I haven't preached one on it. But dead people came to life when Jesus died. Their physical beings were restored. And you would think that an event like that would have caused more commotion than just two verses. Two little verses that he says, yeah, you know what, these people, they raised up and they showed up in church on Sunday. What would you think if all of a sudden those people, those loved ones that you have that were faithful, because it does say that they were saints, so they were faithful to the church, they were faithful to their families, What would you say? How would you react if they walked in that door this morning? Okay, I guess we're not expecting shouting today. I bet you wouldn't react like you just did. Bet you anything. It would be a little bit different than that. So why does he mark it down the way that he does here? I honestly think that his thought was, I don't want to give that much time because someone important, the better story, is the one who's going to raise 2 days. I honestly think that he just decided to downplay it. It would be an amazing event. Even the sun darkening and the earthquake, all this stuff, the temple tearing in two, you know, there's so much speculation of what that meant. And we are going to talk about that in a little bit. But what was it? You know, that curtain itself was just an amazing event, tearing in two from top to bottom. Differences of opinion into how thick it was. Some people say that it was only 3 or 4 layers. Others say that it was 20 or 30 layers and it was the thickness of a hand. Yet it tore from top to bottom. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The physical life that was brought because of Jesus dying on that cross. The cross of Jesus brought life to physical bodies. And because Jesus died, people were able to live again physically. It was an exchange that happened. Jesus died, and you could look at it. Well, the tombs couldn't handle the fact that Jesus was there, so the other ones made room. I don't know. Speculation, because all we got is 2 verses. Then secondly, there's spiritual life. And this one, we need to go into a different gospel, really, because if you look in Matthew and you look in Mark, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 44, and Mark chapter 15, verse 32, it records that there were 2 robbers with Jesus, and they both reviled him and mocked him just like everyone else did. But Luke records a slight difference. In Luke chapter 23, it says, one of the criminals who were hanged and who were hanged next to him were saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked that one and said, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The majority of you here, if not all of you here, at some point in your life, asked Jesus Christ into your heart and became born again, which is what just happened to this thief when you read it. He was born again. Today you will be with me in paradise. And so that is the whole point of our I hate calling it a religion, but I don't have anything else to call it. But it is. It's the whole point is that we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, and through that we are changed. We once were ruled by sin, and now we are ruled by life. There was a change that occurred, an exchange that God took on, that Jesus Christ took on the sins of the world. Him who knew no sin took on sin so that we who knew no righteousness could be righteous. Just an amazing promise. That's a sermon series in itself. In fact, I could preach it for a lifetime and not cover everything. It is amazing what that exchange did for us. He became death so that we would have life. He became sin so that we would become righteous. He became sick so that we would be healed. He became poor so we became rich. And if you doubt me on any of those things, they are written right here in the scriptures. Every one of those. There was an exchange that happened. And I don't think that anybody that has ever walked this earth other than Christ himself has ever understood the full capacity of that exchange. And if we did, we would be in a different place that we are right now. We would be walking in such victory. And some of us are walking in victory, but I tell you, if you have the full knowledge of what Jesus Christ did, your victory would be much greater than what you are walking in right now. Because his blessings are far more than what you could ever think or imagine. The cross of Jesus brought life to spiritual bodies. Because Jesus died, people were able to live again, and they became born again. And now the part that's going to take us a few hours. Those of you who know me better, you know that that's not going to happen because I get hungry too. The third point, perpetual life, an everlasting life. The curtain was torn. The curtain was torn. This curtain was in the temple, and it divided the Holy of Holies from the common ground. The Holy of Holies was the place where the high priest was only allowed to go. And he was only allowed to go there once a year. And when he went in there, what he did was he made a plea for the people of Israel. And it was called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And he made these plea for the people of Israel. And God forgave them the sins for that year. The symbolism of the curtain being torn in two is that we have now access to the presence of God on a daily basis. At any time, we can enter into the presence of God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace through him who died on the cross. Boldly, we come before him. You know how most people go before him? Oh God, please, 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 please. Oh Lord, I humble myself before you. I'm bowing here. I beat myself. Give it to me, oh Lord. Come on, please, please, please. No, you go in there and you say, Father God, because of the blood of Jesus, I am healed, I am healthy, I am provided for, you are mine, and your promises are yes and amen. Those of you who know me and have been here many times before, what is true humility? Oh, come on. It's receiving. How many of you like it when someone pays for your meal without complaining? How many of you complain when someone pays for your meal? No, you can't do that. You're not allowed to. No, please, I'm going to do that. I can do it. When we go before God, what do? More often than not, no, Lord, I don't deserve that. You know what? Yes, you do. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you do deserve it. It is yours. And you can go boldly before the throne. I'm not talking about going before him prideful and haughty and saying, God, I deserve this because of me. Glad I wore a suit today because I could do that. Yeah. No. You go before him because Jesus Christ went before you. And we can receive it. We receive it. Sorry, I'm missing my notes because I'm going everywhere. We have access at all times to the mercy seat of God. We have access at all times knowing that through Jesus Christ the promises of God are fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." And it says all the promises. Now, I did a study on Hebrew and Greek, and every time that the word comes up that says all, guess what it means? It means all. Every promise of God is yes and amen. That's what it says. That's the scriptures. Every promise. God speaks and it happens, period. God speaks and it is, period. This message we watched last night, I was thoroughly blessed when we watched it with T.D. Jakes, and he was getting shouters from people that don't usually shout too. So I'm praying for you people. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, "God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through?" And that was God speaking. When God said, "Let there be light," light happened. When God said, "Let there be sun, stars, and moon," they were created. I am a man. You know that. I have the ability to lie. I try not to, but I have the ability to lie. This is straight from the message last night. I'm quoting him almost verbatim, except, well, I'm different than he is. Slightly. If I were to say to this speaker right here, so everyone can see, that speaker right there, and I said to it, "That speaker is red," I'd be lying. Why? Because we all know that that speaker is black. Now, if God was here and he said to that speaker is red, that speaker at that moment would cease to be black and would be red. Because God spoke it. Right? Do you get where I'm going? T.D. Jakes danced last night, so I got to do some. Yeah, and he did it just like this. When God says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. Don't ever take condemnation back on you again. Ever. Because he said you are forgiven. When God says, "I am the God who heals you," he means it from the bottom of his being. I am the God who heals. You are healed. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, 17 to 18 says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." It is impossible for God to lie. So why do I tell you this? It's because Jesus was the one who spoke things into being. John 1:3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." John 1:10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." 1 Corinthians 8:6, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist." Jesus Christ spoke, and the universe listened and obeyed. He was the one that said, "Let there be light," because it was through him that it was created. Jesus Christ created those things. He spoke it. When Jesus said, "You are healed," you are healed. When Jesus says, "You are delivered," you are delivered. When Jesus says, "I have come to give you life and life more abundant," he means it. Life more abundant is all of your needs being met. Salvation, health, provision, relationships, etc., etc., etc. All of your needs were met because Jesus said those three words that shook the whole earth, made the sun dark, and caused life to come out of the tombs. It is finished. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. Oh, goodness sakes, it is finished. Hallelujah. With those three words, Jesus, who cannot lie, made it so we cannot go back to what we once were. We cannot go back to what we once were. Never. Never. You know, those of you who know me, you know that I have pain in my back quite regularly. But I can tell you that every time it's in a different spot. It might be a millimeter or two less, or a different place. But I was healed. And that pain never has come back to the extent that it was. But it has moved. Why? Maybe I didn't deal with that part. I'm trying to deal with the whole thing. Work with me on this. That's what I tell God. A lot of you don't know this story, and I was going to tell it last week, but I didn't. A couple of weeks ago, I was having difficulty with my mouth. There was a swelling that happened on Monday morning that I did not know what happened. It felt like I had a fat lip. Didn't think anything of it. Drove to Peace River, came back. In the process of going to Peace River, I was like, Lord, I don't know what these things are, but I command them to leave. I got home. I was talking to Jen. I said, my mouth is swollen. I don't know what's going on. She looked into my mouth and she said, oh my. Now for her, that's the cue that says, you are going to go see the doctor right now. So I went to see the doctor. Dr. Turner looked in my mouth and he's like, oh, you must be in so much pain. I had 7 ulcers growing on the inside of my mouth. I wasn't in any pain, but I had these things in my mouth. I couldn't swallow hardly. I was having troubles talking more than usual. And he said to me, he says, that type of ulcer takes weeks to heal. And it's usually virus, but we're going to give you an antibiotic so that it can coat it, and it will, I don't know how he explained it, I was like, whatever. I'll just do whatever he says. Well, they didn't have any at the hospital, so I couldn't take any, so I went home, I was like, fine. I woke up on Tuesday morning, Jen said, how's your mouth? I said, perfect. She looked into my mouth, not even a sign that there was an ulcer. That is supposed to take weeks to heal. Why do I tell you that? Because God is true to his word. Now, if I would have had to take the medicine, I would have taken it. But I didn't have to take it. He healed it right there, right then. And I can tell you from past experience, and I trust it continues, diseases and germs do not last in this body. For some reason, my sister was coughing and hacking over me about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and she said, sorry, I'm doing that. I said, don't worry, those germs don't last in me. And I never caught anything of what she had. A couple days ago, I was starting to develop a little bit of a cold. I could feel it developing in my mouth, my whatever these things are called. Glands. Yes, thank you. I'm not a medical person, whatever. These glands were starting to swell. I was like, Lord, disease doesn't last in my body. An hour later, I didn't even notice a thing. Now, you might be skeptical on all that stuff. That's fine. I don't care. I'm experienced in healing, and you can too. It does happen. God heals. He wasn't a healer. He is a healer. It is always and forever that he is healing. Okay, now back to preaching. Ready to shout? I'm going to go back a little bit so we can get into it, okay? All of your needs are met because Jesus said those three words that shook the whole earth, made the sun dark, and caused life to come out of the tombs. It is finished. With those three words, Jesus, who cannot lie, made it so we cannot go back to what we once were. I once was lost, but now I am found. I once was blind, but now I can see. We once were cursed, but now we are blessed. Death once ruled in our lives, now that we have life, and we have life more abundant. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Sin had left a crimson stain. Oh, I missed a line. I was going to sing this. Sorry. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I need to move to Dallas. Except I sweat too much down there. Jesus paid a huge price. Jesus left the throne room of heaven. Jesus had everything in heaven. According to Philippians chapter 2, he left it all. He left it all and humbled himself and became a man. And he did that so that he could die on the cross. He died on the cross so that he could raise up from the grave. He raised up from the grave so that we would be overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Overcomers. That means we overcome. We're over it. We are over it, folks. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Which is greater, sin or grace? Which is greater, healing or grace? Oops, sickness or grace? Ah, thank you for this wonderful language that I can't speak. Yeah, I learned English. It's from a book. For those of you who are Fawlty Towers fans. Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Sickness, grace. Which is greater? Which is greater, the devil or grace? So then why do we keep giving him credit? You know, I realized something. God has been working on this immensely in my life. And Chris, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask permission. Can I use you as an example? Chris came back from Africa a little bit earlier than what he was expecting. Well, let me change that. Chris never made it to Africa. He came back home before he was expecting. He was supposed to have gone to Africa a couple weeks ago, and for some reasons, there was difficulties. And I've heard a lot of people say that the devil didn't want him to go, and I've also heard people say that God didn't want him to go. Can we just change that a little bit? Because we have a tendency to give God credit or the devil blame, or we blame God, or however you want to look at it. But you know what? Last I checked, there's humans involved, and humans make errors. And I told Chris, I said, you know what? You made an error. You weren't there. Next time, you'll know better. So why are we blaming God or giving credit to the devil? So we don't give the devil credit, and we don't blame God. Who's left? Us. If you run outside naked at negative 10 degrees, I can guarantee you, you're probably going to get cold, and you probably will get sick. Who would you blame? The devil or God? Most often or not, we would say, man, look what the devil put on me. Guess what? He didn't have nothing to do with it. But just like when I am stupid enough to sin, God forgives me because grace is greater than that sin. If I'm stupid enough to run outside naked in negative 10 degree weather, God's grace will heal me. We need to start giving God credit where he's due the credit. And he is a healer. He wants to heal every single person. And I know we have that issue in this church with some people. I don't know what's going on. Have you noticed within the past 3 or 4 weeks how much attack has happened in this church? And it might even be beyond this church. All I know is I recognize the attacks that have been going on here. And we need to start standing again, never going back to where we once were, but keeping and standing right where we need to be, standing on the Word. Stand, therefore, on the Word of God, and you lift up that shield of faith, and every fiery dart that comes out is extinguished by that shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6. Thanks, Jules. That's my Google. You know what? It doesn't actually say that it extinguishes, if I recall correctly, it doesn't say it extinguishes every fiery dart. It says it has the ability to, when you read it properly. Lifting up that shield of faith. Allowing the Word of God. This is the key right here. This is the only way you can build your faith. You could listen to me preach all day long and your faith might not go anywhere. Get in the Word. Read the Word. Allow the Word to permeate into your heart and build that faith so that you can stand. If you are sick, find every single reference about healing in this Bible. If you are suffering from lack of provision, look into the Bible, into every possible time when Jesus or God established provision in someone's life. If you are suffering in relationships, find relationships in here. If you are suffering from anger, find anger in here. Find it in here and allow this to work, because you could go to the things of the world, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You can find all of your solutions right here. And if you have difficulty finding it, either use Google, Jules, or me. Or Chris. Or someone else. You know what I'm here for? You know the only reason I'm here? Yes, I preach. But that's not my reason for being here. My reason for being here is to build you up so that you attain full maturity in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. That is my reason for being here. One of those ways I do it is right here. I preach. And I get to hit 140 people at once. But if you are needing help, my door is always open. I always say I'm 24/7. I might be a little groggy at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it doesn't take me long and my mind starts working. And I can help. And I gladly do. Because God has called me to build you up to full maturity into the walk with Jesus Christ. And that all comes from that open tomb, that empty tomb that no longer holds Jesus Christ. That empty tomb that symbolizes that we are overcomers in this world. Oh, it's just such a wonderful thing to know that He has paid it all, that He did say it is finished.